Moon's a snow white dove. He sends his pure sweet love a sign from above on the wings of a dove. Troubles surround love, and evils come. The body grows weak, the spirit grows numb. When these things beset us, God doesn't forget. Of a snow white dove, he sends his pure sweet love, a sign from above on the wings of a dove. Noah had drifted on the flood's many days. He served for land in various ways. Troubles he had some, but in the time he sent down his love on the wings of a dove. On the wings of a snow white dove, he sends his pure sweet love, a sign from above on the wings of a dove. On the wings of a snow white dove, he sends his pure sweet love, a sign.
Eternal security, then why reach? Because there's a part of us that needs to keep reaching, keep pressing.
Right.
Amen. God bless you. You may be seated this evening. I want to say what a privilege it is to be back here again. I'm glad to see after that hard sermon this morning, y'all show back up to church. You're tougher than you look. Amen. That's right. I know that's rough preaching. I know it is. I know it gets right down into areas that really works on us, but I was thankful the Lord to be able to bring it anyhow, and I wouldn't have brought a message like that if I didn't think y'all was tough enough to receive it anyways, and I trust it was a blessing to you.
Amen.
I hope you don't mind, as I told him this afternoon, I hope you don't mind me pulling and pumping on you and priming the well and all that kind of stuff. I just know after many, many years of preaching that if I let folks just sit there and be quiet, don't say amen, and don't pull in any way, they get too deep in their thoughts whenever you start bringing these messages like this, and so if I can get them to kindly even nod their head or amen or kind of move around or do something, I can keep them in the fight with me. Amen. And so I'm not trying to insult you in any way like that. I just know that sometimes a subject like that this morning, it's a lot deeper than what you give it credit for. Because I guarantee out of everything I've preached this weekend and will preach tonight, this morning will be carried with you throughout the rest of the week. You just watch, see it. I'm telling you, you're going to be looking at things and you'll do this and that thought will come on you. Boy, that's what he said Sunday morning. Well, you know what? You'll carry it with you. And I've preached that one different places, not many, but a few places. And I know the effect it has. And I know what kind of a power lays in some of them words we were saying. And so Yeah, you just understand that's the reason I was pulling the time out of you this morning. Amen. I wanted you to stay in there with me. So anyhow, we love you. God bless you. Once again, Brother Tony, thank you for allowing us to come out of the little church. We always enjoy being here and appreciate the Lord. And I'm going to ask my wife to come, if she will. We're going to sing a little bit and get right into the preaching of the Word. I guess y'all don't mind if we sing these services, do they?
All right.
I appreciate being able to travel with Sam. She's been teaching, and I've had to go it alone a couple times, and I always appreciate having my wife here. She's always a wonderful help, and she's a good singer. And pretty, too. Thank you.
Thank you.
the Lord. Thank God for such a willingness on our Savior's part.
Yes.
To bring healing to us.
Amen.
Amen. That's what I want to speak on this evening is divine healing. Divine healing. Genesis chapter 3, verse 13. I'll say how much I enjoyed the specials this evening and all the singing, the music, and I certainly enjoyed your special, brother. That was really good. I enjoyed that very much. And what a powerful voice. Beautiful voice. Wonderful. Yeah, it's really, really a talent given to you by God, sure enough. And, you know, I like pure talents. I like that. What I mean by pure talents is, I mean, I like the kind of talents that, you know, they don't show off. And they may be good. I mean, good people, they can sing. You know what I mean? They just let it rip and let it go. Some people, they just show off with things. But I like the humility and the sincerity and the power that I felt in some of this singing this weekend. And I appreciate you girls and brother here and all you musicians. And I really, really appreciate that. I travel many places in the world, in the country. I meet many singers and many musicians. And I'll tell you, y'all have got some of the best right here in this little church. And I want you to know that. Amen. Divine healing. Now, I know what I'm getting ready to speak to you on. You might think by hearing my title that, you know, perhaps this is something that you already know, but I'm getting ready to go. How do young people say it? Flip the script? Is that how they put that? Is that right, Elijah? Something like that? They're going to flip the script? Something like that? Well, that's what I'm going to do tonight. I'm going to flip the script a little bit. I'm going to talk about a different type of healing and a different need for us as God's people in healing. Not so much physical healing as much as other parts. But let's start here in the beginning where all of this began for all of us. Genesis 3, verse 13. I'm going to try not to be lengthy tonight. I know that you've been in meetings a long time already. This is service number 3, and we got fellowship coming in just a little bit, and I'm going to try to, as Joel Forney says, helicopter up and parachute out quick as I can go, and that way you can finish off your evening on a nice high note, and we can go out of here and get on the grill and get some steaks and barbecues and whatever else going on and be thanking the Lord for the wonderful weekend. Amen. Genesis 3, verse 13. The Lord God said unto the woman, "What is this that thou hast done?" The woman said, "The serpent handed me a basket full of apples, a bunch of red and delicious." No? What's your Bible say?
Beguiled.
Anybody know what the word beguiled means? Seduce. So this is more than just a trip to the farmer's market. She's seduced. Right. Beguiled me, which another word in me is deceive. He deceived me. So he wasn't handing her the biggest and best and most beautiful stalks of bananas she's ever saw in her life. Something else happened here.
Right.
He said, "Brother Ben, I know all this." Well, I know you do, but there's a purpose in trying to revisit this. The serpent beguiled me and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, "Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field, and upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life." Now, if you'll notice, the serpent himself wasn't even put on his arms and legs until this moment right here. So he was a man that walked upright, talked, conversed, interacted. But now here his curse comes, and God changes every bone in this serpent's body to move from being in the image of a man into the image of the beast. And did you notice that it is the lowest form, as God would, through evolution, as we would say. Remember, Abraham said there was God's form of evolution, not Darwin's version, but God's form. He created with one cell and then just kept bringing it higher and higher and higher till he got to the man. So the serpent was actually taken almost really back to the beginning, if you look at it. No arms, no legs, everything was changed to reflect a baser form of life. Now watch. And this is the principle, actually, if you'll look at it, that Jesus said himself, "He that exalts himself shall be abased." That's what's happening to the serpent right here. He's being abased. "And I will put enmity between thee," now who's he talking to? The serpent. "And the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." I always found that amazing when it says, "thy seed and her seed." It was only one fruit, but two seeds. Wonder which apple or which pomegranate they were going to pick from. I guess she was going to plant a pomegranate garden and he was going to plant an apple garden. Praise the Lord, somebody. No, it wasn't going to happen that way at all. We know what it was. Verse 16, unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy, what?
Conception.
Well, how did we go from eating apples to this?
Right.
That's quite a jump, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, there's a reason he's talking about conception. Now watch. In sorrow, thou shalt bring forth children. And thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. Do you realize the woman was co-equal with the man before this fall right here? She was co-equal with him. There was no subjugation in her life until after the fall. This is when God submitted the woman under her husband. Now, let's turn to verse 20, and or skip down rather to verse 20. Now, watch this carefully. And Adam called his wife's name Eve. And remember, she had no identity of her own. If you'd have said in the garden, hey Adam, they both would have turned around because they both were named Adam. That's what the Bible says. And Adam called his wife's name Eve. She gets her own identity because she was the mother of all living. Now notice this. Now not just the mother of all children, but the mother of all living. Now, there's a difference between children and living. An organism of a divine healing cell, maybe a cancer cell, tubercular, or something of that nature. If a scientist takes that disease germ and sets it under a microscope, they can see, obviously, that there is a life in that disease germ that's making it go. And Brother Bam told us in the demonology messages, he refers back to a cancer cell. He said, now what is he? He said, let's pull him apart. You pull this cell, this cell, this cell, this cell. And he said, eventually you get down to the life in it, which is nothing more than an evil spirit, a devil. Yeah. So her becoming the mother of all living, it wasn't just the mother of all children, but she was going to become the mother of every hybridized life that would come upon the earth after this fall in the Garden of Eden. Yeah. Amen. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, thank you for your word. I pray tonight that the Holy Spirit will come. And Father, take your blessed word and speak to us. Lord, we are so needy. As the little song says, Lord, we're hungry and we want to be fed. Lord, our hungry souls come to you asking that you, by your grace, would come and take the word tonight. Lord Jesus, may the Spirit of God, may you move upon every son and daughter of God here tonight. I know, Lord Jesus, in this little body, there's probably one need after another. And Lord, if I was to stand here before these people and, Lord, try to say, well, you know, they need this or they need that, Lord, I'd be a poor excuse for trying to figure those kind of things out. Because, Lord, I wouldn't know what your children needed. Right down to the depth of them, I would not know. But, Lord, I do know this much, that you, by your grace, if you can come, Lord, and take your word tonight and speak to us on a level, Lord, that will identify with every need that's represented in this building, I know that you have the ability to take your word and solve problems, answer questions, bring liberty and freedom where liberty and freedom needs to be brought. And I'm praying that you will anoint me, that you will give me the ability to speak to the people in the way that they need to be spoken to, that you'll give them the ability to listen and receive as they need to receive. We commit the rest of this service and the remainders of this weekend, Lord. And Father, how we've enjoyed what you've spoken to us thus far. And I pray that as we go back into the Bible and into Bible teaching, that you'll make us attentive and aware of everything you'll speak to us now as we commit it, both speaker and listener, to your hands in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the church said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Now, let's jump right into this best we can, because we can take a lot of time backgrounding into what happened in Eden, but I think you all are well taught enough and Bible readers and what more enough to recognize what it is that took place in the garden. And what little bit we've reviewed, I think that's sufficient for where I want to try to go tonight, the Lord helping us. But one thing that I want to be very mindful of is the reality of what divine healing is for you and I. I want you to realize that Jesus, as our healer, is more to us than just a healer of the body, but God is also a healer of the soul, as we know through salvation. He's also a healer of the human spirit. And there are attributes and elements of our life that whether we want to admit it or not or receive it or not, I know it's hard for humanity sometimes to look at themselves in the way that it's presented as it just as it is and its rawness and its realness. And it's hard to look at yourself and say, I've got problems. But one thing that I've tried to do around the country in different parts of the world as I've preached is to do my best to take this message and get people to look at themselves in a very real way. As I found as I've traveled around the different parts of the message and interacted with message people, that people are people everywhere you go, but it seemed like message people somehow have put on blinders as to what they really are. Right. And they've allowed themselves to get this idea in their mind that, well, we're bride or we're message people or we're all going to heaven, and yet they don't stop to recognize that Satan and all of his nonsense and foolishness and all these other things is still here today working on man the same as he did in the Garden of Eden and on the mind of man and woman just as he did in the Garden of Eden. And we know as God's people that the Holy Spirit desires out of us to become overcomers in a way that Satan doesn't even have a razor blade that he can put into the gaps of our experience. He wants all of these virtues and building this spiritual pyramid of our lives. He wants everything to be so fitly joined together that there's not room for one speck of doubt anywhere we go. And I, for one, I believe that the Holy Spirit is wanting to perfect our character. As I spoke to you when I was here earlier in the year about the character of this bride, he wants to perfect that character, that not only will she look like Jesus, talk like Jesus, but she'll believe and have confidence and faith just like the Lord Jesus did when he was here. Yeah. And Brother Bam tells us while we're on a denomination in 1959 that Jesus himself walked unconscious of his faith. He just believed God. He knew that God, his Father, was there with him. He knew what the Word spoke to him about many different things. And he just walked unconscious. And all that the Father has shown me, that will I do. And the Son, the body, can do nothing in himself but what he first sees the Father doing. So we know that Jesus operated according to the strain of God that was down inside of him. But being made in the likeness of sinful flesh, being made after the order of a sinner or the look of a sinner, and partaking of humanity in the way that Jesus partook of it, we also know that he had his human struggles as well, which is much different than the way that you and I struggle. We struggle as a product of our mother and father and generations and eons of time that has went beyond us into our forefathers of every race and culture and background. And here we are in what science calls the grab bag of life. And we have all of those natures and all those characteristics passed down to us, humanly speaking. Now, one reason that I spoke this morning like I did about this human element is because from last night to tonight, I'm trying to build up to this message here. Because what I want us to see is that as the people of God, we must be so foundationally taught and so scripturally taught that when we go to do anything for the Lord, we have a perfect thus saith the Lord, or we hold still. Remember, the prophet of God said that the bride in the last day would have thus saith the Lord, or she would keep quiet altogether. So we know that the elect of God is promised a much higher realm of faith, a much higher realm of understanding and revelation and so forth. In order for her to make the rapture, God has to take her into deeper things and into higher things than any other group on the face of this planet. The rest of the people, they might be able to get along with St. John 3:16, God so loved the world, but not you and I. God wants us to go much deeper than that. He wants us to go much further than that because of the call and the vision that God has laid before us. And so because of that, then our challenges are much greater. Our battles are much heavier. Our trials are harder and more difficult than what we'd say the average human being, because we are called to a higher purpose. I mean, you look at the Lord Jesus and the life of the Lord Jesus, and you don't find any other human being going through the battles that Jesus did. You don't find Peter, James, John, any of the rest of them, Bartholomew, none of them, was going through the same battles that Jesus was going through. And yet he tells them, when I depart from here, you will face men, you'll face persecution, you'll face this, you'll face that. But none of them had the battles that the Lord Jesus had while he was here. There was a display from hell that was so much more prominent, so much more great, so much more of an onslaught against the Lord Jesus, and it was a contrast, a perfect contrast, Brother Daniel, to the light of God that was shining through the life of Jesus Christ. And as that light of God shined through him, the devil was there to fight against that light of God. And we know that when the bride of Jesus Christ comes into her true position, it'll be the same thing.
Right.
Now, pardon me, let's turn to Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2, verse 16. Now, as you're turning there, I want you to pay attention to the way that the Bible phrases this. Notice, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden, thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Pardon me. The Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him. And watch again. Out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field, every fowl of the air, and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. Now we know that all of this comes from the dust of the ground. Remember, when you're looking at a bird, when you're looking at an animal of some sort, they do not have the characteristics or the strains in them that you and I would have. In other words, Brother, I'm talking about a bird having high blood pressure. He said, you never saw a bird have high blood pressure. He said, because, you know, he knows that his heavenly Father is there to take care of him and watch over him and what more. And we know the difference between animal and man is that part of the soul that lays there that makes the man so much more different than an animal. Now, from the flesh realm, from the attribute of calcium and potash and cosmic lights and petroleum and the 16 elements that make up human flesh, all of us come from the same lump of clay that all these animals and everybody else come from. But what makes you and I different is God placed in us a soul that could respond to the Word of God and a soul that could respond to evil as well. Now, you'll never find, you know, a buffalo, or you'll never find an oxen, you'll never find a giraffe or any other kind of animal. You'll never see them lined up at the doctor's office trying to get more insulin, trying to get this, trying to get that. Why? Because the attack against humanity has been so much different than that of even the animal kingdom. You realize, I know the animals get different sicknesses and things like that, but you realize that diabetes is not the number one killer for every giraffe out there. Heart trouble is not the number one killer of every dog. Cancer is not the number one killer for cats, but it is for human beings. So it proves that the devil has done whatever he can possibly do to attack the humanity of our flesh, our strains, and all of that. Now, out of the ground, God growed every tree of the field. Now, when God constructs the serpent, brings him out of the ground, and he creates the serpent in a certain image, then he takes the man, creates him out of the same dust. As far as the flesh goes, him and Adam, as far as the flesh goes, was exactly the same way. Same elements of the earth, same calcium and petroleum and cosmic lights and what more. All of that was identical in the way that it was created. But remember, the prophet of God said that Eve was created many years after Adam was. She was made, rather, and taken from the side of Adam as a byproduct, and then taken out of the side of Adam, and then used by God as a vessel to create this fall. As we looked at it last night, how that God never intended for them to stay in that type of condition. But yet you see that the Lord Jesus, in the very way that God created this woman, he wanted her to stay with her mate, which was Adam. But the moment that she mixes her body, her cells, her chemistry, her chromosomes, and all that she is with the life of that serpent, then it became a hybridized affair. And in the church age, the prophet of God tells us that Cain was a half-breed and a mongrel. Why? Because Eve was not created for just any man. She was created for Adam. Right. She was made for Adam and Adam alone. Even though the serpent had all of the characteristics and all of the ability to be a male, had all of the ability to mix her life, his life with the woman, yet she was not made for anybody else but Adam.
Right.
Amen. So the serpent then, bringing this hybridized affair, and Eve hybridizing herself, created the first degenerated bunch of cells. Now I want you to think about something for a moment before we go on. As we looked at last night, in Eden, everything was perfect. Not one cell, not one hair, not nothing would degenerate. As long as they stayed behind the Word, they were perfect. Their heart beat every step perfectly. Their blood sugar was perfect. Their triglycerides, the cholesterol, they didn't have to worry about none of them kind of things. They were perfect. In the absolute epitome of perfection. So how did man go from being in that to being in what we are today? Don't you realize what it is? Hybridization. Right. When Satan took that serpent and mixed together with Eve, he produced a hybrid situation. Now, notice now in Genesis chapter 6, the sons of God see the daughters of men. And according to the Bible, according to Brother Branham, this is when that natural serpent seed line then mixes together, blends together with Abel's side, and those two bloodlines mixing together. Then, of course, there's no natural serpent seed today. It's all mixed up together into one thing. And if you do we were talking about a DNA test last night, and if you do a DNA test, it's come to find out, you might have white skin, just be as white as the color of that little projector right there, but you'll have black and red and yellow and all kinds of colors in your family history. Why? Because we're made up of a conglomeration of all different races and cultures and all that sort of thing. I mean, you think about going to some of these countries, like you go down into Mexico and you realize that a Mexican person is a mix between the Spanish and between the Indians. You look at some of us sitting right here. Amen. Brother Daniel and his family, they got some Indian in them. My wife and I, we come Lakota Sioux, Cherokee, you got Indian in you. And there's other parts of us that if you went back even deeper, might be more than just the Native American side. It might go back into Africa, might go back into New Zealand, might go back into the islands, might go back here, go back there. Now, all of those generations of what they were, all of them will culminate into your flesh and into your body and produce out of you a mixture of all of that sinning, all of those strains, all of those attributes of who you are. Now, you realize that you as a child of God, with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you can never lose your salvation. But your flesh is not born again. And it can't be. It's impossible for your flesh to receive the Holy Ghost. It doesn't have the ability to contain it. How could God take a body that's been mixed up with every filthy sexual thing, lie, temper, ungodly, that could he take such a vessel and actually dwell in that flesh? There's no way he could do it. The prophet of God said the human heart was made for such a purpose. That was made for God to dwell in. Brother Man called it the throne seat. And God can sit on the throne of our heart, but not our flesh. Even our human spirit does not have the ability to contain God by the way of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Only the soul has that ability. Now notice in different scriptures you could refer back to the child being the fruit of the womb. Let me just give you a couple of these. Luke chapter 1:42, Hosea 9:16, Isaiah 13:18. Psalm 127:3, Deuteronomy 7:13, Genesis chapter 30, verse 2. Just a few places there where he speaks about the fruit of the womb. Now you realize that a seed, once a seed begins to reproduce itself, whatever's in that seed will come out in the fruit later on. So if the seed was ungodly and filthy and all these other type of things, then the child of that seed or the product of that seed will be whatever that seed was. When you look at Cain standing there at the altar, he's worshiping God, friends. And he's just as much worshiping as Abel's worshiping. Message called True and False Vine in March of 56, March 11, 56, the prophet of God said like this. He said, Cain had the same faith. Cain had the same in every way that Abel had. He just didn't have the same revelation. But yet people say it come from Adam. All right, let's look at the seed. When Cain sees that God accepts Abel over him, Look at the reaction that comes from his body. Look at the response out of him. He gets jealous. He gets angry. Come on now, church. Where did that come from? Not from God. How could you ever place that murderous, ungodly, filthy spirit ever coming out of God? It'd have been the wrong seed altogether. God ain't got jealousy in him. God ain't got hatred in him. God ain't got the pride in these type of things. All of that come from the strain of his daddy, who was more than the serpent. It was the devil. Satan used that body to spiritually father a son, but physically, he was a son of the serpent. Spiritually, Cain was a son of the devil. And all of that passed down to him. So if you've got your mommy's nose and your daddy's ears, why not have your daddy's temper? Right. Or mama's impatience? Well, hallelujah. All of that comes down to you and I. Right. But you say, I've got the Holy Ghost. But your flesh don't.
Right.
It's still in the same sinful condition it was the day you took the breath of life. Oh, you say, not me, I live right. I'm not talking about what the Holy Ghost does to bring us in subjection. I'm talking about your flesh the way it is right now.
Right,
if you was to try to discern what it's all about, you'd find out in your flesh has the same sexual strains, in your flesh has the same addictions of gambling and adultery and drinking and all that stuff still lays in you. Why don't you go do it? Why don't you yield to your flesh? Because the Spirit of God on the inside of you will take this body and swing it subject to the Word that's on the inside of you. That's the reason why you don't go do these filthy things of the world. Because God's done something different for you in your heart. It's not that your flesh couldn't do it. Why do you think you make all the mistakes I preached about this morning? Because you have the potential of doing wrong. Every person sitting in this building tonight, you've got the potential of going down to the convenience store and getting you a pack of cigarettes and smoking them.
Right.
You can do it. If you got lungs, you got lips, you got hands, you got the ability to control a lighter, you got the ability to light a cigarette, you can smoke a cigarette. Or you say, I got the Holy Ghost, but your body don't.
Right.
My soul could never smoke. But my body can. All of that is passed down to us. Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1. Paul says, would to God you'd bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. For I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. Now watch. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Well, it goes to prove right there that you've got the ability to be corrupted,
right,
to be hybridized. Now, friends, you just think with me for a moment. If all of this is inside of me, then don't I need divine healing from the power of God to help me get overcoming power over all this stuff that lays on the inside of me?
Yeah.
You better believe I do.
Right.
You too. Now watch, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13, 14. Bible said, for Adam was first formed, then Eve. Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. Well, that sounds like woman hating. I can't help it. That's just scripture. The Bible said it wasn't Adam that was deceived, it said it was her that was deceived. You say, well, that don't sound fair. But that's what the Bible said anyhow. I know women's lib, they hate this type of preaching. Because, you know, women today, I'm talking about ladies seeing women, they want their rights.
Right.
They want their ability to do this and do that. But God set her on a different covenant because of the fall in the Garden of Eden. The devil deceived her. He didn't hand her a basket full of apples and say, here you go, Eve. No, he had a higher purpose than that. He knew that if he could get into the human race and hybridize their cells, hybridize their soul, he could cut him off from the presence of God. Hey, listen, this old boy's been there before. He knows what it means to contradict God. He knows what it means to be cut off. And he figured, if I can't have the right, if I can't have a kingdom in the north, if I can't be the big guy, I'll take everyone that God puts out there. I'll take them down with me. So he uses this serpent, amen, to hybridize the cells. And now you are a product of years of iniquity. Aren't you happy to be you? You say, well, that puts me in a spot. That's where I want you. What am I supposed to do now? I'm so glad you come to church. This is why I brought you here tonight, to tell you this. God is our divine healer. God is the healer of all of these strains. If you've got your mama's nose, don't you have her impatience as well? Don't you have your daddy's temper? That's your cue to say, man, I was waiting on you. Sure. You got all of that in you. But I've got the Holy Ghost. But your flesh don't. It doesn't have the Holy Ghost. 1 John 3:10-12. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever does righteous is not of God. Does not righteous, not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. This is the message you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, who slew his brother. And why did he slew it? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. So where did that come from in Cain? It came from his daddy. Now you realize, friends, that much of what you and I deal with today isn't really a product of you and I. It's things that's been handed down to us. I want you to think with me real deep about one thing. A lot of the stuff that you smack your forehead, you know what I'm talking about. That's why you got flat foreheads tonight, because you spend a lot of your life going like this. Duh, 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 can't believe I did that, duh. You realize that a lot of the things you battle, it wasn't because you chose for it to be that way.
Right.
It wasn't because you wanted it to be that way. It's because something was handed down to you.
Right.
If you was a drunkard, you didn't choose to be a drinker. I mean, how many in this building can say that when you got the ability to walk and talk and you started kind of learning about life, maybe you was about 5 or 6 years old and things started kind of waking up in your subconscious and you said, hey, I think I'm going to be a dope addict when I grow up. I think I'm going to rob a bank and kill people when I grow up. No. Where does that come from? Where do things like that come out of people? You say it's a wicked heart. It's more than that, friends. That's what this serpent seed was all about. It is the fact that in your body was handed down years of iniquity and contradictions against God, and it was all handed down to you. And if you got your daddy's nose, you've also got his temper, grandpa's temper, and great-great-great-great-great-grandpa's temper. So you ain't just dealing with your own problems. You're dealing with all of theirs as well.
Right.
We need divine healing.
Amen.
We need healing. In 8:39. Now, watch this string coming down. Then answered and said unto him, "Our Abraham is our father." Jesus said, if you were Abraham's children, you'd do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man that's told you the truth. This did not Abraham. Y'all read it? You do the deeds of your father.
Yeah.
And they said to him, we be not born in fornication.
Right.
We have one father, even God. Watch what Jesus does. If God were your father, you would love me. They're saying, glory to God, we're message people. We're prophet following people. We follow the message. How many times have you heard that out of people in this world?
Right, man.
I'm a message believer. Okay? But if you did believe this message, then you would love men of God. You would love children of God.
Right.
You wouldn't backbite and come on.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something, friend. No true child of God, I don't care who they are, if they've got the baptism of the Holy Ghost, no one man, no one woman that's got the Holy Ghost can tear down the influence of another human being and assassinate them. And if they got the Holy Ghost, something not talk to their heart after they're done speaking.
Right.
Why do you see people do the things they do? They don't care who they annihilate. Hey, listen, I'm a guy that likes to tell the truth about things. And if somebody repents, I don't mention it. People do things and they live contrary lives. Hey, it is what it is. I mean, I can't make it an apple if it's an orange.
Right.
Or make it an orange if it's an if it's an apple. It is what it is. You can't change people when they've got things in their heart that's contrary to the Word. And here the Lord Jesus is identifying the reason you act like you act. Watch. Is because you are of your father, the devil. Look at it there in verse 44. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. Oh, where did they get that from? Did they go to lust school to learn how to live this way? Did they, did Satan have an academy where you join and learn to live like the devil? It was them. It was handed down to them through the natural course of life. It wasn't just a spirit on them. These were things that was handed down, plumb back from the serpent. Remember, it wasn't just Cain had a devil on him. It was Cain that had those genes and those traits, and all those attributes sank right into his flesh.
Yep.
We need divine healing.
Yep.
We need healing. All of that's inside of us. He said, watch, he was a murderer from the beginning. And you'll never find anywhere in the Bible where Satan ever killed anybody. The first person you find is Cain. And the Bible says, as we just read there in John, he was of the wicked one.
Yeah.
This is divine healing. You're of your father, the devil. Now, in Exodus chapter 34, verse 7, he tells us that he keeps mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. Amen. And he says, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, upon the children's children, unto the third and the fourth generation. So whatever you're doing today, if we last four generations from today, whatever's in me will pass down four generations to the kids down there.
Yeah, right.
And it multiplies as it passes down.
Right.
It gets worse. If what I had to go through was 10 times less than my forefathers, what do you reckon our kids are having to go through?
Right.
10 times more than that. It multiplies as it passes down. Think about it. The iniquity of the fathers passing down. Brother Ben, I've got the Holy Ghost. So glad many of you was here this morning to hear that message. You've got the Holy Ghost, but there's parts of you that Satan has been working on since you've been a boy and a girl. There are things that even right now with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you still ain't got the victory in your life like you'd want to have over them. And Satan tries to make you to be at fault.
Right.
When you trace this old stinker back to the beginning, you find out many of the things that you're battling right now wasn't your battle. You never chose to battle it. You never chose to have strengths and have certain qualifications and qualities rather. And all, you never chose to have these things. I mean, who in here would have said, yes, I want to be addicted to gambling? You didn't ask for it.
No.
You inherited it. It was passed down to you. Where'd it come from? From generations back before you. That's why this bride will be such a great overcoming group. Because she won't just whip today, she'll whip the last 6,000 years of humanity. Glory! Watch this in the power of the devil. Brother M said, now sickness is not sometimes your sin direct, but maybe indirect. You inherit it from the sins of your forefathers. So the moment that Satan saw that I could be tempted in a certain way, he knew that. Not because of me. No, not because of me, Elijah. But because before me, there were 12 generations coming right through that bloodline that had the same problems, the same issues, the same battles, and he knew coming down to me they would multiply.
Right.
Remember the prophet of God said, Satan studies your life. Well, it's not just studying you. Because your life doesn't encompass just you. Your life is not the sum of your life is not just you and your chromosomes, but it's everybody else before you that makes up generations before you. The devil watches that. He watches because he knows that Brother Bram said that God predestinated this woman and that man to come together to produce this child, and then they come together here to produce this child, and then down and down and down and down until you show up. And he knows exactly what kind of conglomeration came by. It's just like when I was in biology. In high school, they used to talk about a bug that stunk and a bug that tasted bad. He said they would come together, and he said when they would come together, what did it produce? A bug that tasted and stunk. Tasted bad and stunk. Well, you take one man that's got impatience in him, take a woman that's got a high temper, put them together, what do you got? A child that's impatient with a high temper. Right. And each generation, they get weaker and wiser as they go along. That's how the devil knows how to attack you.
Right.
That's how he knows exactly what you're weak to. Because he can study all of those lines coming together. And he knows biology enough himself. He knows the study of human life enough himself to know what all of that produces as it comes down here. This is why, friends, if you look at this in the right way, this is why you and I will never whip that ugly devil without the baptism of the Holy Ghost. There's no way. How could you, with your strains and your many problems, how could you ever whip a guy that studied generations before you?
Right.
Thought it was interesting talking about these different Ancestry.com and these different sites, Living Tree and these different ones. You can go back into your generations. We got a brother at the church out there, and his wife studies. There's another one in Manchester there studies this stuff. I had a cousin that studied the NORAD line. Found out the NORAD actually comes, we thought it came from France, but found it comes from the Vikings. Nordic is where NORAD comes from. I told people that's the reason I preach the way I do, because I'm part Viking. Amen. Anyhow. And you look at all them lines, all them strains. I can get on that family tree and I can trace it back so far. But the devil's been alive for 6,000 years. And not only does he know back to Attila the Hun, but he knows before Attila was a Hun. Are you with me?
Yeah.
He can go way on back into them generations, come right back to Adam and Eve, and he can follow those strains. Because remember, there's only three generations or three races of people, Ham, Shem, and Japheth. That's where all three of us come. He said the Gentiles, the Jews, and the Seraphonicians. That's three main races of people. And Satan has enough brains. He can follow this line, follow that line, follow that line. And that's how he knows to attack you. You ever wonder when you fall into a trap, how did the devil know that? Now you know. He's that smart. He understands what it means to put together the perfect plan. But this is what I love. Having the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the Lord Jesus knows how to spring many of those traps before he gets a chance to spring them on me. Amen. And I want to live close enough to God that I can be 40 steps up the road when the trap is sprung. Watch, he said, we inherit those differences. The sicknesses, diseases of the body keeps handing it down. He said, now sister, that baby's got stomach trouble. She inherited it from you. Oh. Well, if the baby can get stomach trouble, what about temper?
Right, that's right.
I've worked on you for about 10 years to get you to say amen. I have a feeling all that's gone out the window tonight. I know the type of minister I got. When I put that two-edged sword right on your nose and you can't wiggle, it's hard to holler amen. I know. But this is good for us if we'll study it.
Amen.
We need healing.
Amen.
We need divine healing from Almighty God. Because
right.
If there ever was a group that has got problems, we it.
That's right.
We're called to a higher purpose. Satan sees that. He knows what you're called to. He knows what elements are laying inside of you, and he does his best to try to put you in a position to where he can use yourself against the real you.
Right.
He understands this generational curse that lays out here before everybody. All of us are susceptible to generational curses. You remember when Rachel went to name Benjamin Benoni, child of my sorrow. The reason he spoke up and said, call him Benjamin, is because he realized what having a bad name does to your life. Because when he met God out there, when he saw Peniel, the face of God, and the angel of the Lord touched the hollow of his hip, and he was walking different. You remember Jacob was a little shyster until God changed his name to Israel. And so when that woman was crying out in sorrow, Benoni, he said, don't you do to that child what was done to me. Call him Benjamin, the son of the right hand. I imagine the devil was doing cartwheels in hell. How did he figure that out? Thank God. God slips revelation into people that don't even know they got revelation. Remember now, when it comes to sicknesses and things, unconfessed sin gives Satan a legal right, I'm quoting the prophet now, to stay right where he is. Remember the prophet of God talked about that woman who committed adultery, and she was a Sunday school teacher, her husband a deacon, and he sees a vision, and he's out underneath a tree with another woman, a blonde-headed woman, and said, now go make it right with your husband. He's got the same thing to confess to you. And he said, no wonder that church out there can't have revival. He said, why? Because all of that going on in the congregation, it would put the devil in a position to where that God couldn't run him out until the thing was made right. God help me say this right, but that's one reason I don't want to be a part of anything that dishonors the Holy Ghost and welcomes the devil.
Right.
I don't want to be a part of any church, any function. I don't want to be part of anything that makes Satan welcome in their lives.
Amen.
Absolutely right. I'd rather lay on my stomach, drink branch water, and eat soda crackers than put up with something like that.
Right.
I've spent my entire life standing for what's right. It's cost me friends, cost me family, cost me this, cost me that. But I've counted the cost.
Amen.
I've put my little pebbles in the urn, and it's worth it.
Amen.
To stay with Christ.
Amen.
But Satan is so shrewd. He knows how you tick.
Yep.
Like the inner workings of a watch, you know? He knows what spring works to this, that works to that, works to the other. Why do you think before you get ready to come to church, and God's going to bless the services? I'm sure this weekend coming, I bet you all have fought battles. It's been a whole lot harder this week than any other week.
Yeah.
Look at all these heads going up and down. Don't you know why? Special meeting time.
Right.
Satan knows we're going to try to dig into the Word like we've done this weekend. People are going to come expecting special meeting time. So Satan says, let's work on them. Let's get them in a position to where that they can't feel open and free to receive the Word of God. That's why the devil will do everything he can to disrupt all of the Spirit of God. And Brother Anderson, in one place, he said, you're there on Sunday, you get a great blessing on Sunday. He said, watch out, Satan is right on the track on Monday to steal out of your heart everything the Holy Spirit instilled in you the night before that.
That's right.
And he knows where to hit you.
Right.
You ever notice the things that aggravate you? You know, you ever notice? It's always the things that aggravate you that come along. Did you ever think of it? You understand what I'm trying to say to you? It's not the things. When God's getting ready to bless you in a great way, it's never the things that don't bug you that show up.
Right.
It's always the things that bug you the most.
Yeah.
You can go Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Like a duck, things roll right off your back. Get ready for a special meeting weekend like this, and the things that bug you, they'll show up more than anything else. Don't you know who's behind that? The one that has studied you since the day you were born.
Amen.
Who has studied your generations and knows what bothers you.
That's right.
That's why you got to be slick.
Yep.
Like I've told the young people many, many times, you got to watch when it comes to boys and girls and dating and these type of things. Satan knows how to pull you out of the will of God.
Amen.
I've told young people around the country, whenever you're courting somebody or dating somebody, you better make sure that boy or girl's got the Holy Ghost. Make sure they love God. Because if they don't, you get married, you got two realms that you're connected by, flesh and spirit. But if there's no Holy Ghost there, it'll be hell on the day of your life. Especially if you're trying to serve God and they're not. Because Brother Graham said, a bad woman will pull a man out, or a bad man will pull a woman. I said, or they'll swing the other direction. He said, it's always 50-50 in some way or another. Satan understands. When Delilah showed up in Samson's life, the devil knew what kind of girl Samson liked. She was custom built to his specifications. Oh God, y'all getting quiet, but it's truth in it.
Amen.
Knew exactly what he wanted. And she was anointed to do what she did.
Right.
Samson. Oh, she probably bat them eyes and long eyelashes and them high heels on. And Samson look around. Yes, dear. Yes, dear. Mm-hmm. Satan knew exactly how to design it. You remember, the prophet of God said that Satan was the woman's designer. You wonder how in the world could it have been the designer. Go right back here to what we're talking about tonight and see who started working on her first. God may have taken her from the side of Adam, and God may have created her, if you want to say that, and formed her to be the woman she was, but the devil's the one that went to working on who she was. Because the moment he started hybridizing cells, then he could shape that woman into the image of what she is today. You hear Brother Bell on marriage and divorce, and he makes a statement like this. He said, yeah, I had a picture of the supposedly the prettiest woman in the world at that time. Pearl O'Brien was her name. If you ever looked her up on the internet, she's as ugly as a mutt dog compared to today. And Brother Bell said, there's not a girl in that school but what would outshine her today. He said Satan was responsible for that. So the devil knows how to manipulate ourselves. Now listen to this. The flashing red light, the prophet of God said a few years ago, look where man's got to in his body. Science is constantly trying to make better food. Hybrid corn, hybrid tomatoes, hybrid beef. He said the stuff is no good at all. It's killing people and they don't realize it. A few more years, there'll be nothing but a bunch of jellyfish. Hello, jellyfish. That's what we are. He said, at a ball game, he said, you never hear of anybody getting hurt 50 years ago, he said, and this is in 1963.
Yeah.
So 50 years ago, you think that was 13? 1913. I know y'all young people can't even think back that far, can you? 2003 would have been a long time. But all these years ago, man had the ability to ward off many of the diseases and disease germs that are striking people today. Satan worked on the food system because, remember, it all come from the ground to degenerate cells. His whole purpose was, if I can weaken their cells, I can afflict them, I can work on them, I can deal with them. Did you ever stop to think one reason you sat in church and battle to keep your attention on the Word of God is because the devil has been poking hybrid food down you all your entire life, and he made a tomato and a potato, and all these other things in a manner that it would weaken you down, that you could not be as receptive to the Word of God as what you could have been 50 years ago. Don't think so? Look at the revivals even 20 years ago around this message. You take a meeting like this right here, Memorial Day weekend, you'd have been setting chairs all the way outside. They'd have been putting bullhorns up here outside the door. People have no interest in it. Why? They become so hybridized, so soft. Go to a special meeting. He might preach on me. I know. The ball players years ago, Pete Rose, he used to dive into the guys. You know, dive. He didn't slide. He dove head first. Knees and elbows and everything, punching the other guy and knocking his helmet off. And they'd roll over in the grass. He'd get up and dust himself off, jump up on second base, touch it, start running to third. And God help the guy on third, because he was going to be even rougher this time as he was second time. But today, they could be standing in the pitcher's mound and a ball hit them on the shoulder and their life flighting them out of there. Why? Hybrid food. It's degenerated their cells. Well, isn't brain cells cells too? Where'd all this come from that you see today? ADD, attention deficit disorder. Where'd that come from?
Right.
Comes from hybridization of food. The devil knows if he can distract people. I guess we've all heard the phrase squirrel. Comes off that little movie, that little cartoon. Hammy, I think, was the squirrel, or whatever his name was. Anyhow, he had ADD according to the film. And I was over at my niece's house, and they were watching this little thing. And somebody, it was a dog, I think, actually. It was a dog. And a squirrel went by, and it was squawk! God, I've seen so many people like that in church, I can't even begin to tell you how many people I preach to like that in assembly. Every little thing distracts them. While the Word of God's going on, that fan up there can turn a little bit faster, and the whole church loses their attention to pay attention to the fan. You say, that's silly. No. That's Satan's plan. You ever been reading your Bible and have a hard time concentrating on your Bible? Uh-huh. Satan's scheme. He works on us and works on us and works on us. Can I say it to you again? We need divine healing. We need God to heal these cells, heal this body. Put me in a condition where I can live by that word. Watch now. He said, you went to a bowl game 50 years ago. He said, there ain't nothing to hold him. You hit him, he's so soft, he's dead. Maybe that's the reason people in the churches don't like hard preaching anymore. They've been so hybridized, they can't take hard preaching anymore. I remember a time you could walk up to the platform and literally fillet the skin off of the bones of the people sitting there preaching. And they'd be hollering, come on, preach it. Tell me, man of God, don't you stop. Come on with it. And today, I can wind up for the pitch, and I can hit them with the softest wiffle ball I got, and they'll cry and pout and walk out and stomp out of the church. Hybridized food. They don't have nothing in them to hold them anymore. Well, he looked right at me when he said that. Well, I'm going to look at you, so just get over it. Where's all this come? Hybrid food. All of this that Satan has worked on to put us in a condition where we cannot respond to the Word of God the way we need to. Hey, friends, I'm going to tell you something. People don't even worship like they used to. They don't. They've gotten to this Jeff Jenkins style of music. You know what I'm talking about. Years ago, Jeff, I preached against that stuff out there because they got into this, everything real quiet and solemn and easy. I said, my God, when did message people become so dignified? You wonder why they kicked me out of Ohio? It's because I stood against about everything to come out of that state. It wasn't right. We come to the house of God, we need to sing like we did tonight. Amen. I'm so glad I can say I'm one of them. Yeah. Needs to have some energy behind it, some jubilation.
Amen.
I don't mean to call names, but I'm in the middle of nowhere, so ain't nobody going to know I'm calling it. So. If we sit at the dinner table, I'd talk to you just like this, so just talk his way now. I don't mean no harm against Jeff. But the Spirit got a hold of people. And then people got refined. And anymore, instead of them saying amen and hallelujah, they clap in unison. When in the name of God did that become a standard in Pentecostal churches?
Right.
Don't you see what's happening? Hybridization of food. It's not only hybriding naturally speaking, it's making them so soft they don't even know how to really worship God and get loose in the Holy Ghost and let the Spirit of God take over them. We don't need that. We're in the Word. We're sick, friends. That's why we don't worship like we used to. We're sick. We have been afflicted with Laodicean lukewarmness. People, the message, you can go to a meeting now, and the preacher has to pull on him the whole time he's preaching. Trying to just get somebody to get with him. And he'll work his heart out. There might be 20 out of 100 that's really out there pulling. Probably this 20 sitting right here. You probably be the ones. Pulling on the Word of God. So come on, Brother Ben, preach it.
Yeah.
I can get out there and I can hammer away. And I'm like a pitching machine when I get started. I ain't just going to throw one fastball at you. I've got curves and sliders and knuckleballs and spitballs and everything coming at you. If you're going to come to one of my meetings, you better be ready to be pitched to.
Uh-huh. Right.
And if you need pads, you better get them on because I'm throwing the ball. But people so hybridized, they can't take tough preaching anymore.
Yeah.
He called me a devil. What about the part where I called you God? How about that one?
Yeah.
But you see, it's a matter. Hybridized food. It's changed the way they look at things. Let me read this to you. Show you what Brother Branham said about this. Listen to this. The prophet said he cares, do you care? He said they've injected all this into the hybrid cattle and the human race. He says, come back on the human race. He said, see all this scientific and what more? He said, every seed should bring forth of its kind. The human race, the plant, all of us been interbred and brought to a place that eating our food, he said, which our bodies are made, he said, is hybrid. It's put our whole minds, our bodies are failing from 20, 25 years old because of degenerated cells. He said, doesn't that degenerate our brain cells as well, and that cells also? Next sentence. That's why Ricky runs through the street with his hot rod. What? That's why Elvita and Ricketta are out half naked before the people, mentally gone, with no conception of decency or morals. Yeah. Hybrid food. He attributes this to what people are doing. We need divine healing. Yeah. We need healing. God, I don't quit. I'm going to get long-winded. All right. Just a pinch further. Let's quit. Notice again. There's a difference between divine healings and miracles. Did you know that? A miracle is right now. Divine healing is a period of time. Right. By his stripes, we're already healed at Calvary. But we have to go through the process of receiving that healing into our body. And to show that Jesus, that our Lord Jesus was not just a healer in the New Testament, but God was a healer in the Old Testament as well. In Numbers chapter 12, verse 13, when Miriam is eat up with leprosy, he cries to God, heal her now. Rapha, the word Rapha, and he makes this altar later, Jehovah Rapha, God our healer. Showing that he was the healer of our bodies, even in the Old Testament, as he's the healer of us in the New Testament. Glory. God heals in many avenues, but only from one source. He said like this, God heals by music. God heals by love. God heals by medicine. God heals by surgery. But God is the healer. Not the love, not the surgery, not the music, not the miracles, not the medicine. Huh? God. Brother Brandon says, God can heal through understanding. Take somebody in the middle of a problem or a battle or trouble or something going on in their mind, people misunderstanding them or something like that, watch somebody that has a little understanding, compassion for them, come out and show them a little understanding in their situation. It brings healing. Right. When you're affected in your human spirit, and your human spirit, you ever been offended? Anybody? Yeah. Anybody? Anybody still awake? Answer me. You know that feeling on the inside, you feel like you're about to die? You're sick. You've been gashed. You've been cut. You're sick. You need healing. You need healing. Because the devil doesn't affect just our bodies, but Satan comes after our human spirit as well. And he knows how to come after every aspect of our lives. Not only does he come after the emotional part, but he comes after the physical part. And if I've got a sinus infection and I need God to heal it, if I've got a toothache, and in this toothache I need God to heal it, but somebody offends me, and I feel that feeling in my heart of sadness and all that, that thing can turn into bitterness if you don't treat it. If you don't treat it with some good Holy Ghost medicine, it can turn into anger and rage. I know the Bible said be angry and sin not, but many of these things go a lot deeper than just being angry. Come on, somebody, say amen. Amen. Come on now. Or say, not me. Yeah, sure. Until you're offended.
Right.
Until your feelings have been hurt.
Right.
Somebody steps on your toes and says something you don't like.
Yeah.
And then what happens? That little sickness that started there. Brother Rand called it a root of bitterness. A seed. Satan just plants it in there. You know what you need? Divine healing. You need God to come heal that place inside your heart.
Amen.
In Kings, he talks about Hezekiah. Remember, he turned his face to the wall there, and God healed him. Talks about Naaman being healed of leprosy. In 2 Chronicles 7:14, he speaks about if the people would humble themselves, pray and seek his face, turn from their wicked ways, that he would hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land. Shows that God also will bring healing to the nation. Remember, when they come from the outside with the leaves off the tree of life, it is for the healing of the nations. Glory to God. Even in the new city, God will be the healer. Psalm chapter 6, verse 2. David said, "Have mercy on me, Lord, I'm weak. Heal me, for my bones are vexed." God heals by love, by prayer, by miracles, by his word. God heals by understanding. Just a little love goes a long way. Take somebody all upset and just show them you care for them. Amen. And God will heal by that love. Mark chapter 3, 15. Jesus gave the disciples power to heal sicknesses, to cast out devils. I'm done. Stand with me. Luke chapter 4, verse 18. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted." Did you get that? Heal the brokenhearted. Set at liberty them that are bruised. So he's not just here to heal cancer,
right,
but he's here to heal your broken heart.
Amen.
He is our Rapha.
Amen.
He is our healer.
Amen.
You know why some people commit suicide? They're sick.
Yeah.
Why some people have affairs? They're sick.
Right.
Oh, they might be physically as healthy as they can be. Come on, Brother Tim. You musicians. Physically, you can stand before a doctor, do blood work. Cholesterol, blood pressure, blood sugar, triglycerides, everything. Perfect as perfect can be. He can be healthy as a horse. But maybe his love has been infected by a disease germ.
Right.
But this is the reason friends, husbands, and wives fight. And I don't mean fight, but I mean fight for keeps. Everybody's going to fight when you get married. I don't care who they are.
Right.
Somebody said the other day that made a statement about this man and woman, said, "One thing I'll say about me and my wife is that we've never had a fight." I said, "That's because you've been too busy lying." Amen. Amen. That's right. But why does a man start looking for another woman? Why does a woman start looking for another man? They're sick.
That's right.
They're sick. A germ has implanted itself into their affection. Because remember, one of the realms of the human spirit, Brother Tony, is that affection part. And a germ has infected that human love. Remember, the prophet of God said that whenever a man or woman is married and said, "You start looking at another woman," he said, "Oh, I just love them so much." He said, "That can't be love. Because your vow is to that woman."
That's right.
He said, "It's adultery." He said, "It's absolutely an adulterous feeling altogether."
Yeah.
Well, what is it then? If they feel love, they don't realize it. But many times Satan will send an infectious spirit. I've seen young people, many, many, many be the time. And I'm not speaking present company. I'm talking in general. Many, many times, a young man will say, "Fall in love with a young woman." A young woman, "Fall in love with a young man." It ain't nothing but lust.
Yeah.
It ain't nothing but some kind of a popularity thing or a fad thing. Or that's all the girls like him or all the boys like her. And they don't realize it, but the devil gets inside human affection. And just like a cancer would enter into a backslidden cell, create cells and create a cancer, the devil enters into memory, enters into love, enters into reasoning. Have you ever noticed sometimes people that start reasoning against the Word of God, you can't help them. Why? The devil has entered in there with a cell of doubt. And he's so infected their reasoning, they're so sick, that no matter what you quote them out of the Word of God, they just look and say, "Shut up! Get out of my face!" They're sick. They need divine healing. Oh, but God is our healer. God is our healer. Amen. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we love you tonight. I just pray, Lord, that you'll take your word and so plant it into our hearts that it will bring forth 30, 60, and 100-fold. Take what you've preached to us tonight, Lord, and may we just absorb it into our conscience. Lord, may this drop down to the depths of our heart. God, may it produce out of our lives what you desire for it to be. We commit today and this week into your hands in Jesus' name. Amen. Sing something. Yes, amen.
Where there is no such thing as hybrid anything.
Right.
And think about that. Because all that we experience in this world that's not Christ is hybrid. To say our flesh bodies, what man's done to this earth, the whole thing is all hybrid. And it's what causes you trouble. And as we heard tonight, even in the spirit realm, hybrid things, something that gets inside there in a channel of your spirit that it mixes maybe a little bit of God and a little bit of this, a little bit of that, and you wind up with some hybrid something, and it just produces death. That's just all there is to it. But God's got us a place he's taken us to, and we know scriptures tell us that right now, even in this life, we get to taste of that dimension to come when we get an experience of the Holy Ghost. And so we want to do everything we can now to draw on that experience so that we can eliminate out of our lives as much hybrid as possible. I realize we live in a world and we're going to have to rub shoulders with the world. And I'd probably say that if you wanted to go out and find something that wasn't touched somehow with hybrid scientific effects upon it, it'd probably be really hard to find something. You know, but even if you grow it yourself, it's still got influences of chemicals and the rain and things like that. Probably hard, but you know what? We got a perfect word in this hour that in our spirit and in our walk with God, we don't have to be feeding on hybrid stuff. Right? And that's where the key is. We've got to go back to the original word, because the original word, right, the spoken word is original seed. And that was a seed where there wasn't anything wrong with it. Amen. So I'm glad God's done that. I've enjoyed this weekend. It's tiring on the body. I noticed that probably a lot of people was probably more tired in body this weekend for some reason. Don't know why. But he's right. Satan fights you. But it's been good. And I was just thinking, you know, we love this message, but, you know, our experience in the meetings that we've had over the years would be a whole lot different if the Norod family didn't spend the hours that they spend on the highway coming and going. And so I know that God's, he's got a blessing for you coming, because you've sacrificed so much. And we thank you for just remembering us over here in Van Buren, old small people. We're not a big people, but we love each other. We love the Lord. And we love you all. So God bless you. Just wanted to go ahead and dismiss, and let us go ahead and go out to the house and fellowship. But just savor what you've heard. Think on it. And as Brother Ben said, this week you'll rhyme and come back to something you heard. Little nuggets. That's what it's all about. We want to be like Elijah and eat what the Lord gives us, so we can go however long the journey is. If it's a 40-day journey, we go on what the Lord has given us. Amen. Let's just bow our hearts and close in prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we're so thankful that you have blessed us this evening and this afternoon and this service this morning, last night, Lord, with the things that you've sent our way. Lord, it's been a blessing to us to be here, and I pray, God, that you just allow us to take these things we've heard, and Lord, that you would, in your great Holy Spirit, in the weeks to come, that you would remind us, Lord, that we would remember and think back, and Lord, as we would not just have heard it in our hearing here at service, but that we would meet it out there, we would see how that it works in our life. Lord, that we would see that as we put it in place, it would destroy the enemy and give us great victories. We love you, Lord, and just ask, God, that you continue to be with us in our fellowship. And Lord, as this weekend, as the people want to celebrate those who have paid a price that went on, and most of the time, Lord, they're thinking about the military people that have gave their life. But Lord, it ultimately goes all the way back to Calvary, where you paid the ultimate price. And Lord, we want to just make sure that you know that we're thinking of you. And as we enjoy this weekend and the fellowship that we have with each other, Lord, we recognize that it's you that's made it all possible. We love you, Lord, and just ask that you give the Norod family the strength they need. Give them, put back into their lives, Lord, what they put out. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You can be dismissed.